Blog Talk Radio. Welcome back to Tom on the Radio with your host, Tom O'Neill.
I'll be honest with you, Steve. I almost missed my showtime. I find tonight's Democratic convention very must-see and very good TV. And I have two TVs. I have one on Raw, which I'm not really paying attention to, but we'll get to that later. I find it strange, within a week you saw Day One bad television, and 7 days later you see Day One good television.
Wild, my friend.
Well, yeah, I mean, we try not to be political on this show, but if you twisted my arm, I could tell you what's up with me, but let's just say it like this. The way all the speakers tonight were aligned, like the stars aligned, one better than the other, one better than the other, and the other, it was spellbounding. It just had me. And it didn't even have to say hello.
Well, I thought Day One, it was interesting. It was interesting.
Well, that's more than we could say about last week's Day One.
Yeah. Yeah, but the meat, the potatoes, as it were, I think comes either Wednesday or Thursday. And then, at least for me, it's thoughtful. It's going through everything, you know. Seeing, you know, both sides. Of course, being, as I say, fair and balanced. And then I'll have my choice.
That's what Fox says.
That's
and you see
Fox
where it got
is.
Them. Yeah. But, you know, I'm just speaking from television entertainment purposes. This week and last week, it was not even close.
Oh, no. Television purposes, TV went back to where it was, when everything mattered.
Yes.
And I wish they would go back to the olden days, when you would see the conventions.
Not the vaudevillian olden days.
But let's put it this way. Let's put it this way. I'm glad for cable news networks who carry the brunt of it, while the networks go for like 1 hour.
Well, they're going more than an hour tonight. They dare not cut Bernie Sanders, but I agree with you. I found myself watching MSNBC on both weeks for their convention coverage. It's as close to C-SPAN as it gets, and I miss C-SPAN, but my cable operator doesn't carry C-SPAN.
But I will say this. Both conventions have their own little quirks, and I can't wait to see what happens tomorrow and the next night as we count down to the big match. And she's got to kick it. She's just got to kick it.
Well, she's going to have if you're talking about Hillary, she's got some work to do, as they say. Because tonight's speaker Each one of them hit home runs.
This is true. This is true.
And then you got others to look forward to, like the president, like the vice presidential candidate, like Bill Clinton. Oh my goodness. It's like a murderer's role.
Yes, and let's just hope no further controversies take place to steal the spotlight. I just got this feeling something's going to happen that's going to steal the spotlight.
Well, to be, as you would say, fair and balanced, Donald Trump worked the campaign trail hard today here in the Commonwealth and in North Carolina trying to either defuse or prevent the Democrats from stealing all the political thunder.
Oh, yeah. And if elected... Sorry, I was thinking of running.
Oh, Bernie. Oh, man. Don't get me wrong. It was smart for the Democrats to put Bernie last because he has the most heat to generate. And hopefully, for the Democrats' sake, that it builds up on that. That Thursday, as you look so forward to, become a love-in.
Well, they need something to take the focus away from the news of this weekend, embroiling the Democrats.
Yes. We didn't hear that in one sentence tonight, but it does make you wonder. Not just the act of the email leaks, but the timing of it.
This is true, and they said that there's more to come. I just wonder if they're going to release it all on Thursday.
Judging from what's been happening, it wouldn't surprise me. So this is Time on the Radio. Me and Steve are not political pundits, nor do we profess to be, if I'm speaking for you, but we're just talking pure entertainment purposes of the Democrat and the Republican conventions. And now we can get on to stuff that we know, which isn't that much.
By the way, they've been hawking every poll in the world. The one poll I would like to hear from is the stripper poll.
Yes. Oh, by the way, two things I will need to mention before we go further, and I hope not to forget. Again, I must thank the Real Deal with out-and-out sex appeal, Linda Steele, for gracing both of our shows Friday before last for you and last Monday for me. She was nothing but a doll, and her pictures on her Facebook page warrant any kind of poll you can think of. Radio does not do that woman justice. Granted, we want her to have her own show, but radio does not convey pictures very well.
No, but I will tell you this. She is the real deal with sex appeal. We have anointed her.
Yes, we have. I appreciate that you didn't call me that when I appeared on your show last Friday. Although I like the name, I was never really comfortable with it. But she, if you look at her pictures, She just oozes sex appeal. And her personality is 10 times better than her look, and her look is awesome.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I just wanted to thank her, and she's welcome on your show anytime, and she's welcome on my show anytime.
Indeed, indeed. And that is a
permanent. Yes, it is. A platinum carte blanche card from both of us. And the second thing I would like to mention is Hampton Roads TV Icon celebrates her birthday Wednesday, so I want to wish News 3 anchor Barbara Sierra a very happy birthday. She's been a friend of mine for well over 30 years and a great lady, a class act, and I just want to wish her a happy birthday.
Happy 24th.
There you go. Now you're cooking with gas. So let's get to another subject now that we got the elephants out of the room. We're just real men in here talking all that makes us work. I find it suspicious. The rebranding of Raw and SmackDown on the WWE on USA, it's like they reinvented the wheel in some ways.
I will tell you this. I saw the opening.
The new theme song kind of was limp. It wasn't really high energy. And the fact that they put the announcers far back from the ring takes away a lot of immediacy and a very important prop over the years that wrestlers use.
I agree with you. I agree. I mean, I'm sorry. I just got this feeling that
I got a feeling.
The new look. Please, somebody, bring the old logo back, because this one has no personality whatsoever. It has no oomph. It's got no oomph.
Bring back the old music. Bring back the old music. Bring back the old open. It doesn't excite. It leaves you like a political speech sometimes. I didn't mention any names, so you can't say anything.
It leaves you limp.
Not wanting more. Oh, yeah, that's a good one, Steve. It leaves you limp. It doesn't make you want more.
I mean, you look at it, it's like, I mean, really, it's like, where's the pop? Where's the oomph?
Where are the fireworks?
This was like sponsored by Viagra and Cialis.
At the same time?
Yeah. I mean, it was like, okay, where have I seen this before? Oh, yeah. Nitro.
Well, even Nitro had more fireworks than this open. And at least it didn't go like a minute and a half.
I mean, it just... Bleh.
Yeah. Bleh. And what came on afterwards was Justice Set.
I mean, forgive me for a moment. Stephanie McMahon naming Mick Foley as the new head of Raw. Gee, let's see. That makes him the head of lame wrestling ideas for not one, not two, but three wrestling promotions. I mean, Mick Foley, Mr. Foley, I apologize graciously for the following words. Not, but I say this with respect. You are a legend. You are a hardcore legend.
You're a Hall of Famer.
And a Hall of Famer. But aren't you getting a little sick and tired of being the quote-unquote general manager of the wrestling promotion's best show? Like, for example, TNA, you were the head cheese of that, WCW, blah, blah, blah.
And where are they?
And now back to WWE. Cliche.
It's like they're trying to sabotage Raw for the betterment of SmackDown. I mean,
no offense, but Mick, I mean, you're good. You're good. There's no doubt. I mean, you still got the oomph, but you've gone from being a Hall of Famer to now becoming a cliche.
In Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. I mean, cliche.
Or even if he was there, he'd be in Jackson, Michigan.
Hey.
See, it got to pop out of you.
Hey, we can wish. But
cheap pop.
I'll give the devil his due. They are trying to, shall we say, rebuild a strutting pig.
But it wasn't really broke, was it?
No, they should have left it alone. Just left it alone. Let it try to write itself out. But no. They decide, well, we'll need a new logo, we'll need a new look. We gotta do what we can to keep our brand going. Gee,
well, they're the only brand that's going. What I mean, I'm of the belief if it isn't broke, don't fix it, because the fix is not better than what you had.
That's right. I mean, the cure is just bleh.
I mean, this after coming from a very decent pay-per-view, it definitely left me limp.
I mean, the pay-per-view was, I'll give it a 5.5 bell ring.
Which is a lot better than recent history when it comes to pay-per-views.
That's right. The main event saved it from becoming a... one of the two matches that sort of saved it. And at least, and I say this with, once again, respect, they're letting the New Day continue to go strong.
What about the New Day?
The New Day, they're back together. In fact, I think WWE better just keep them together if they're going to launch the real Bootio cereal.
So there will be a real Bootios.
Yep, they made that announcement, so hooray! Hooray, wow.
I wonder who's going to make it, General Mills?
I think they'll probably give it to an independent company.
Chocolate. So in other words, it's going to be chocolate-covered O's.
Who knows, but it should be fun to find out.
Yeah, they started a new rivalry with the New Day with Anderson and the other guy.
Yes, the club. And
yeah. And we We ain't talking Canadian club here.
No, we're not. I mean, this is okay, but still a little rushed. But I think they had to do it because they knew they would not get much out of the New Day versus Wyatt family, because they sloppily just copied and pasted it all together. They didn't give it enough. They didn't give it enough time for it to simmer, to stew, to make the audience want more. They just said, okay,
that's the big axiom of any form of entertainment, to make the audience want more.
That's right, but they just copied and pasted it, and the audience just went,
blah.
Yeah, not only that, but they went, been there, saw it, TNA did it better. They did it with film instead of something that looked like, I mean, TNA, and I give Jeremy Borash and crew credit, they did that like a Steven Spielberg production. The Wyatt family versus New Day at the compound was like done like public access cable television show.
Yes. And there was not a shred of realism to it.
No, I mean, there wasn't the build up there. There wasn't any. It was like,
I mean, The first stupid question you ask is, why are three black men going to a stranger's house at night to do what?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing good comes out of it.
Unless
they're rescuing somebody's mama, you don't go on somebody's property unannounced and unknown.
This is true. Plus, let's face it, if I want to see people wrestle in mud, I'd go to a strip club and see actual women mud wrestling.
And take a few loose dollars with you.
Yes, a few souvenirs.
Caked in mud. I see where your mind is, Steve, and it's the exact same place mine is.
I mean, they were wallowing in the mud like pigs on acid. I mean, people watching had to realize this is their answer for the best match wrestling ever had, the deletion on TNA. God.
This is why you have to have competition, and I'm not talking about brand extension in the same company.
Nope. I mean, if you want an extension, maybe partner up with an organization that needs a little boost. But.
Like,
maybe one of the independent organizations. Have a little something with start up a little feud with Michigan-based AWWL. Many moons ago.
Cheap pop.
Yeah, but many moons ago, that's where I thought TNA was going. When they brought in Sabu, and Ric Flair had a few things to say about his uncle and his family, I thought for a moment, oh boy, I would love to see this go right straight to Ed Farhat Jr. This is what they need. Didn't even happen.
Mm. And we're talking, I bet you we're talking Ric Flair in his prime.
Yes.
Not the antique version that we see these days, that we saw these, like that, the one we saw when he finally hung him up. But that was only because he couldn't move in the ring anymore.
Yeah, that's right. The woo had to be, I mean, the man can woo, but he's really lost a few steps.
Oh, yeah, well, when you're in your mid to late 60s, you're going to lose something.
And let's put it this way, for a guy who's 90 years old, it was time.
Speaking of the Nate, big news tonight out of Raw, his little girl lost the WWE Championship tonight to the Boss.
Uh-huh.
I see a submission win. It was a submission win, and everybody was happy. Well, it possibly was something of Charlotte, but, you know, nothing lasts forever except if you're in the camp of the New Day.
This is true. This is totally true.
I don't see anybody really threatening a New Day, at least until they put out their breakfast cereal. I was watching a certain convention tonight, which we already talked about. But when my boys Enzo and Cass came on, I switched right to them to hear what they were going to say. I know that act is going to get tired eventually, but for right now, I love it. How you doing?
How you doing? Yeah, I like that. I like those two. Those two have a good future.
Yeah, they try to keep it fresh, and I understand that. And they're wildly popular. I mean, I think they get a bigger pop than almost anybody on the Raw roster. And just to think, a year or so ago, they were toiling in NXT.
Mm-hmm. And now NXT is getting a little bit bigger, and WWE, Raw, and SmackDown are trying to, just trying.
And basically what they did, both brands, was get younger.
That's right. And I think there's going to be a reverse. I think you're going to see some of the young wrestlers say, no thank you, NXT. I think I'll go to SmackDown. Thank you for about a couple of months. I'll go to SmackDown.
Yeah. The next one I see coming up through the ranks is... It's Bayley!
Oh, yes.
That was a great unknown pop last night at Battleground to see Sasha Banks and Bayley tag up. I had to see that again. I mean, there's nothing like being familiar with someone, especially when you've been through the battles. And it made for a great match. And it was billed as a one night only, but you know there's no such thing as one night only when you are as wildly or as popular as Bayley is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you want a face of the women's title. There you go.
Yes. And her wildly popular T-shirt says, "I'm a hugger," and that's her gimmick. I mean, when the match was over last night, they kept, and Sasha Banks and Bayley kept trying to hug each other, and they finally did it, and it was so heartfelt. And the audience loved it. I mean... we're at the bottom of the hour, so we have a few more minutes to chat. There are certain places on the WWE main line that you are guaranteed of a good show. And three of those places are New York, Philly, and Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the next WWE pay-per-view is SummerSlam, which will be in Brooklyn. And NXT will have a next takeover in Brooklyn.
should be fun.
Yes, it is. And NXT is going from basically a developmental league to a farm team.
Yep, you could say they're they've gone from a single A to now triple A. They're sort of the Lakeland Tigers of wrestling.
Uh-oh, you said the magic word. You said the magic word, and that's one thing I want to hit on before we leave here tonight. What's going on with the Motor City Kitties? I think there are going to be sellers within the next week or so, because I don't think this team has a run big enough to capture a playoff spot.
This is true. My assessment is coming up roses. I still say wild card, but after tonight, oh, beautiful.
Please tell me they did not lose.
They won against Big Papi and the Boston Red Sox.
Okay.
It was a great game. Justin Verlander pitched his heart out.
But there's only about so many TVs I have, and it saddens me that I had to miss the Tigers game for the other two things we talked about tonight. But I was very disillusioned with the lack of performance from this team yesterday when they lost two games in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good to hear that they recovered and beat the Red Sox tonight. But the question is it too late?
Well, they're going to give it their best. I'm not going to count them out until maybe, as they say, we get close to the home stretch, about mid-August, early September. And if they're still...
Yeah, but that's way past the non-waiver trade deadline, which is August the 1st.
This is true, but I'm glad you mentioned that. For the Tigers, and I think I mentioned this in my assessment, they got to find some good pieces. So far they got fair pieces right now, but there's like maybe one or two definite needs. I mean, they definitely need someone in that outfield. And pitching, while that's coming together, they still need that special oomph. They need that someone that makes things happen.
Someone they didn't get today. The Cubs solidified the back end of their bullpen by trading for Aroldis Chapman from the New York Yankees in exchange for some minor leaguers. So... It's not like the Yankees have given up on the season, but they basically gave up on Aroldis Chapman because he was going to be a free agent at the end of the season, and the Yankees were going to get nothing for him if they didn't trade him. But they still have a closer by the name of Andrew Miller that I think they're going to hold on to as long as they can and as long as they're in the playoff race.
Yes, indeed. And Cleveland is starting to do what I think we all knew they would, the second half swoon.
Well, they're I don't know what's the tribe's problem. I mean, it's like they're into mediocrity. I mean, They were hot as a firecracker in June and early July. Now they're, like you say, coming back down to earth, but they're not doing anything about it. I mean, they could have had a Rawless Chapman, but they waited too long. But, you know, and I don't think the Cubs are finished. I think they're going to get more pieces. I think they see a world title with this team.
You see, they had the taste last year, last season.
Yeah.
They had the taste. They tasted that fruit. This year.
Yes, they did.
This year, they want the whole pie. And I think they may just get it. They add a couple more big pieces. I mean, yes, Chapman is the gold standard, but still, get a couple more.
Yeah, and those who don't know Aroldis Chapman, he's a left-handed closer that throws over 100 miles per hour fastballs.
Mm-hmm.
With movement.
Oh, yes.
Yes, any team could have had him, but the Cubs were more aggressive. Oh, speaking of the Cubs, for the next two nights on ESPN, we get to see the Windy City Classic.
Oh, yeah.
Tomorrow night from the Cell, and Wednesday night from Wrigley.
Yes, sir.
And what did you think of that stunt Chris Sale pulled by cutting up throwback uniforms because he didn't like how they looked? And he got a 5-game suspension from the team.
Well, let's put it this way. If Chris Sale wanted to say goodbye Chicago and hello to another team, well, the only sale he's going to be getting is probably an off-the-rack sale.
Sail on
because,
down the line.
Yeah, he'll be sailing out, but not to one of the more major hot teams. Maybe to a team like, the Tampa Bay Rays or. Because
I think Chicago still thinks that they're in the playoff hunt. So they're going to hold on to them as long as they can. But this stunt really lowered the sale price. For Chris Sale.
I mean, he wants. I mean, if he wanted to have a high price, there will be no sale.
No. Because this not only reflects upon the talent of the baseball player, but it reflects the clubhouse talent of the baseball player, which is none. This is not the first time he has pulled stunts on the White Sox. It makes me think he's trying to force the White Sox to trade him.
Yes, but he should realize stunts like that teams that may be interested, they don't want.
No! Not even the Tigers would want that, and they only have two uniforms.
This is true, but I mean, if there was a team, the worst team ever, maybe the Atlanta Braves. I mean, Wayne Hoyt.
Oh, Lord.
Or the Minnesota Twins. I mean, there's a team desperate for anything, even a fire sale.
Yeah. Boy, if we had a talk show in Chicago, we'd be blasting that we're ripping up Chris Sale. Or is it no sale or half off sale?
Or a $9.99 month sale.
I tell you, if they tell you to wear a burlap bag and they're paying you seven figures, and all you got to do is pitch every fifth day, I'd wear the burlap bag. I would care less.
I mean, come on.
The White Rock are trying to earn the money back from paying your ass.
That's right. And this is how you thank them. By becoming a seamstress.
Yeah. And he's going to still get a chance to pitch against the Cubs Thursday night.
Oh, boy.
I mean, I don't know if a 5-game suspension is the max a team can do. But if I was running the White Sox, I'd suspend his ass for 2 weeks.
Oh, I think the Chicago Cubs, I would love to see this happen. Sale pitches, and the Cubs jack him about 6 runs.
In the first inning?
Yes.
Well, too bad Nationwide won't see it, but I bet you Baseball Tonight will be on it. I'm sure the conversation piece for the next 2 days on ESPN will be Chris Sale and him trying to get himself out of the South Side. Because I think he sees that team will not be a playoff contender. And he sees another year of his career go by and he wants to play for a contender. But this is not the way you do it.
No, Mr. Sale.
This is not the way you do it. It makes you wonder the culture on the South Side. You had Adam LaRoche basically bail on his team, and granted it was a good reason, but he still bailed on his team. And Chris Sale, who's one of the few players that actively was on the side of Adam LaRoche. I could not walk away from a 7-figure salary. And if I had a kid, you know, for my kids, I love my kid, but I gotta pay his college. I mean, you're a ball player. You play ball. You play ball until you can't play anymore. If you're on a team that you don't like, play harder. Somebody will get you.
Yeah, you don't turn seamstress.
No. And you're going to still make the team a lot of money because there are some knuckleheads out there that will want to buy that jersey that you cut up. Though only because it was a jersey that you cut up.
Yeah.
I mean,
what more can you say except sail on?
Good times never felt so good. Well, the Southsiders wish for 1995 all over again because that was the last time they won the World Series. And
they're
so envious. And they're so envious of the Northsiders. It's not funny. because the cell will be full the next 2 nights, and about 80% of the crowd will be for the Cubs.
True.
Yeah. And with that, we've reached another spine ting. I like saying that word, Steve. Spine tingling edition of Tom on the Radio.
Yes, my spine tingling already.
Oh, shut the noise. Clutch the pearls. I am on Steve's show this coming Friday night, The Last Call Cafe, here on these very same Blog Talk airways from 11:30 to whenever he says the last call. But that's the title of the show, Last Call. But as for me, I have had my last call, and I'll say to you, Steve, thanks for calling in and being my wingman like you were for Hillary Rodham Clinton. I'm just kidding. For Steve, I'm Tom O'Neill. We'll try this again next Monday, same bat time, same bat channel. And until then, have a great 7 days.